Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Hurt last night and briefly considering some type of workman's comp suit. I'm fine. I'm back walking without a limp. If you missed it, I got caught in the electronic gate that opens up in the lobby to allow us entry into the building. And a very kind, though somewhat eager, security guard decided he would let me in without me using my card. And when I attempted to walk through the gate, thinking he knew what he was doing, my mistake, the gate closed on my knee and my leg, my thigh. And so I got caught in between the two glass doors on the gate. And they smashed me. And so I can still feel the bruise. There's a bruise there. And the poor guy, when I walked out on Tuesday morning, he was profusive in his apology. I should have just stood there. I should have had my hand over it the whole time. He's new, and he didn't realize that it would close. So yes, there is a bruise and I can still feel it, but at least I'm not limping noticeably anymore. There's that. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Oh yeah, feels like a hump show. Middle show of the work week. And after Manny for a couple of nights, now Ryan is back working with us again, just in time for Ask Amy Anything. But I do have to check because it's been a revolving door. Ryan, you were the first to work on the show. We've had five other fill-in producers, not since your last show, but since you started this process 5 weeks ago.
It might have been five since my last show.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's been just a blur of fill it. You're all just nameless, faceless. I'm just kidding. That's not true. I'm glad you're back. But I want to make sure you're good with the Ask Amy Anything. All right, so thumbs up. Did you have a chance to post on our Facebook page?
And on Twix.
Nice. So this is a big deal. I actually gave Ryan the login to... Well, he had it for our show Twix account, but I gave him the login to our Facebook page. So if any of my friends or family start receiving weird messages or you start liking things on my Facebook page, I'll know where it came from. Actually, it could be you or my mom because she also has access to my Facebook. So thank you for doing that. There is a spot up at Amy After Hours or on our page, which is named after the show. And you can send your questions for Ask Amy. We put it out there early on Tuesday afternoon so that you might catch it if you were feeling creative 6-7 hours ago. The post is still available, though. It's easy to find. It's a bright orange. It's the orangest thing that you will see on the internet today with a yellow thought bubble. So it's there. And while you're there, gotta vote. You've got an hour to go to vote in one of the funniest polls, I think, that we've ever done here on the show, just because it's goofy. You gotta bet on one of them. Who wins a 100-meter race between Noah Lyles and Tyreek Hill? Just the two of them. No one else out there on the track. But Noah Lyles and Tyreek Hill, who was running his mouth indicating that he would, in fact, beat Noah in a 100-meter dash. Now, we went through all of the various nuances, the fact that yards and meters are not exactly the same, which means over 100 meters, you're talking about running from deep in one end zone to deep in the other, that Noah's a trained sprinter coming out of the blocks, that his signature move is closing strong, and that's how he won the 100 meters in Paris. He nipped Keyshawn Thompson at the, well, the buzzer, at the wire, and it was a photo finish. And then he ran the 200 meters 2 days after testing positive for COVID, and yet won a bronze. And that's actually how Tyreek Hill started trash-talking him, is that he was pointing to the fact that he only won third in the 200 meters.
Noah Lyles can't say nothing after what just happened to him. You know what I'm saying? They didn't want to come out and pretend like he's sick. I feel like that's like horseradish. So for him to like do that and say that we're not world champions of like our sport, says like, come on, bro. Like, just speak on what you know about. You know what I'm saying? And that's track.
Would you like to race him when he gets home?
I will beat Noah Lyles.
You think so?
I will beat Noah Lyles.
Like, by a lot?
No, I wouldn't beat him by a lot, but I will beat Noah Lyles.
I'd like to see that happen.
And guess what? When I beat him, I'm going to put on a COVID mask. Oh, and let him know I mean business. Because I do mean business.
Oh, dear. All right. So, Tyreek Hill, a little trash talking. Because Noah had done some trash talking as well. Mostly about the NBA, but I guess it's a mantle that Tyreek Hill is going to pick up and run with for the sake of football teams as well. And you've heard it by now. How can the NBA champs claim they're world champions when their league is just United States and I'm actually a world champion, yada, yada, yada. Now, I've told you this is a deliberate ploy by Noah Lyles to keep his name relevant. Beyond just the Olympic year, the Olympic cycle, that track and field and Noah individually, so he does want to grow the sport, but the track and field and Noah's name would not fade until we get into another Olympic cycle. So take everything with a grain of salt. This is a bit of self-promotion, shameless self-promotion, but it's working, right? Because people are talking about him and talking about this particular debate. I do know that when we engaged in it, roughly 24 hours ago, people got very fired up in weighing in either Noah's side or Tyreek Hill's side, but you got to bet on one. Again, that poll is available on my Twix, A-Law Radio, or you can weigh in on Facebook as well. Now, here's what we know about a different wide receiver. New rumblings of a Brandon Ayuk trade to Pittsburgh. I thought the Pittsburgh part was dead. But now it seems as though the Steelers are the only team remaining in a potential Brandon Ayuk sweepstakes. If he's not going to stay in San Francisco, where is he headed? So to that end, we'll give you the latest that we know here momentarily. But about 30 minutes from now, Steelers beat writer Joe Rutter will join us after another day of training camp. We'll see if he's got any details and what it's like there in camp. Mike Tomlin not really answering any questions about Brandon Ayuk. And remember, these guys are not allowed to comment specifically on players that are not on their rosters.
You know, I'll let you guys speculate on that.
Any early morning phone calls or?
You know, it's a little early on the west side right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So probably not.
So on Tuesday morning, Mike Tomlin already getting questions about Brandon Ayuk and whether or not he could soon become a Steeler. So as I say, about 30 minutes from now, following the update, we'll have that conversation with Joe and see what he knows. But also, should Ayuk become a Steeler, who is throwing him the ball in week number one? I'll just tell you right now, that's a question I'll be asking Joe. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Again, find us at A-Law Radio or on our Facebook page. Happy hump show to you heading into your Wednesday, your hump day. I've got a very special event happening within hours. In fact, it will keep me from working the next couple of nights. So I won't be with you the next couple of nights. Last two nights off of the summertime. In fact, last two nights off until November, if you must know. So we're all in after this. But because there's a special arrival that's taking place in New Jersey, I think they should really shut down the airport except for this one particular guest. You can check it out online, and I appreciate those of you who are so kind to let me know that it's something sweet for you too. I love that you care about me and my peeps. So that's online, and we'll get through this hump show together. As for the Aiyuk deal, it feels as though we've been in limbo now for a couple of weeks. And it goes back even further than that. The Niners allowing Brandon Aiyuk to seek trade partners. And there were various different places, various different franchises that thought they had enough to entice Aiyuk to leave the Niners and to head to Cleveland or New England or Pittsburgh. But here we are, and we're still waiting. Ian Rappaport, he's tracking all of it deliberately.
A significant update, I would say, in the Brandon Aiyuk situation. Here's where it all stands. Things have gotten a little bit spicy. Sources say the Steelers and the 49ers have agreed to terms on a trade. They have agreed to compensation, and the Steelers are in a good place on Brandon Aiyuk's contract. That does not mean the trade is done. It simply means if the 49ers say yes, then it is done. That part has not happened yet, but the deal is in place. Meanwhile, the 49ers have made an offer for Brandon Aiyuk to keep him there on a long-term extension. He has not accepted that yet. The fact that he has not accepted that yet means it is simply not enough, and the 49ers are not there yet. So there are now dual paths for the 49ers. There's the potential trade with the Steelers, then there's the potential contract extension with Brandon Aiyuk. Neither thing is done. That is why we are in absolute limbo for Brandon Aiyuk.
Hey, I just used that word. Yes, limbo. How low can you go? I was under the impression, and this comes from Jennifer Lee Chan, who joined us to talk about the Niners side of this. Gosh, going back more than a week now, she indicated this was, first of all, the most bizarre situation she'd covered in over a decade of following the Niners and reporting on the Niners. But she also said that the ball was in Aiyuk's camp, and that this was Aiyuk's decision to make, that the Niners would trade him if he agreed that he wanted to go to Cleveland or New England. At that time, Pittsburgh was out, but now Pittsburgh's back in. So we'll see. I would love it if there was breaking news coming out of the Bay Area, even as we're here on After Hours. And I know we have a ton of you Niners fans and really Bay Area sports fans that are listening to us now here After Hours, which is tremendous. Ian Rappaport giving us the latest. That comes from his YouTube channel, because everyone's got a podcast and everyone's got a YouTube channel. 855-212-4227. Dan is listening in San Diego. Dan, what do you think? Noah Lyles versus Tyreek Hill.
Oh, man. Amy, first of all, I got to say, great to talk to you again. This is our fourth conversation, in case you forgot about the previous three. And
no.
Here in San Diego, everybody loves Amy Lawrence. I just want to let you know, every time I tune in 97.3, the fan, and I hear you, I'm like, I just have to call my friend, Amy.
Nice.
So anyways, what I was going to say, so I got a few thoughts here, especially I didn't expect this whole Brandon Aiyuk conversation. I know that everyone in Pittsburgh is clamoring. They're all praying to God Almighty, please bring Aiyuk to Pittsburgh. But, I mean, we saw this show before with Deebo Samuel. Listen, we're going to get the deal done. Aiyuk's going to be in a San Francisco 49ers uniform before you know it, and he's going to be all happy. Everything's going to be all good. He's just trying to get an extra million or two. This is the problem I have with these guys. It's like, isn't 28, 29 million enough? It's like they want that extra 30. They want to get that 30, 32 million, whatever it is they want. And it's just a game for them. But anyways, the reason I was calling was because about the Padres. I know it's a little off topic, but I just want to ask you, have you seen how well the Padres have been playing lately? Have you noticed?
Stop it. Dan, would I be hosting a national radio show if I didn't notice the hottest team in baseball that's won 18 of their last 21? Stop it. What an insulting question. Seriously.
I love it how you always have your facts and your everything. You are top notch, Amy. You've always got...
Insulting question. That's an insulting question. I'm not sure we can be friends anymore. I feel like this friendship is now short-lived, and that's it. You just burned it down.
Well, I beg to differ. We've disagreed in the past, particularly when you thought that Wilmer Flores' check swing wasn't egregious in the Giants versus Dodgers NLDS series. Even Jeff Passan said it was absolutely egregious.
Oh, even Jeff Passan. Okay, so if he says it, well, then I must agree. I must just fall over and say, oh, yes, well, if Jeff says it, then it must be gospel.
You said it was a 50-50 call, and that's where we disagreed. And I was like, no, it was not.
So that somehow means that I have not watched the Padres this season? The fact that they're the hottest team in baseball, that somehow translates to that?
Well, as a national radio host, I get it. You're, like, tasked with covering the Dodgers and the Yankees.
Oh, stop.
Blah, blah,
okay,
blah,
that's
blah.
It. No, I'm done. I'm done. Again, thought we were okay. Was going to be a little, like, fun, have a little fun with it. But do not come on my show and tell me that someone has instructed me to pay attention to Dodgers and pay attention to Yankees. Oh, for heaven's sakes. All right. Dan is now banned from the show. I don't care how many times he calls from San Diego. We're not talking to Dan again until he calls to issue an apology for insulting me as a national radio host that I would, first of all, if you don't know me very well, if you think that I would ever listen to someone tell me what topics I have to bring up here on the show, that's ridiculous. And second of all, I work very hard to maintain an approach to the show that is inclusive to everybody who's listening. The first thing I tell my Syracuse audience, my Syracuse students, know your audience, know who it is you're talking to. This is a national show. I do my absolute best to appeal to as many people as possible. No one ever tells me what to talk about. And if they did, do you want to know what my reaction would be? I'd probably talk about the opposite because I don't take instructions well. After 25 years of doing this, I'm not sure that someone else can tell me how to handle my radio show. But also, I'm a contrarian. If you tell me to do one thing, I'm generally going to do the opposite. All right, at A-Law Radio, yes, we will talk about the Padres and the Diamondbacks, by the way, because both of those teams are surging in the last month, and the Dodgers have found their footing a bit in the NL West, but the gap has closed. It really has. Shohei Ohtani, he's on a tear. Even as Mookie Betts returns, there's more protection there in the lineup for all of these guys. The Astros are the hottest team in the American League. Now 7 wins in a row, and they're trying to pad that lead atop the AL West. So yeah, the Wild Wild West in Major League Baseball is where it's at. Oh, and just for Dan, did you know that Juan Soto had his first career 3-home-run game? And the Yankees are finally, I would say, a little bit embarrassing the way they got shellacked by Chicago, the White Sox, not the Cubs, to start this current series. But maybe finally they're going to have some pride and not get embarrassed again by the Southsiders. Baseball, that's going to be, I don't say half the show, maybe 40% of the show. It's probably not even accurate. We'll go 35% of the show, and the rest is all gas, no brakes when it comes to football. Not just Brandon Ayuk, but some major news coming from the NFC North. You've got other guys that are looking for trades because they're unhappy with what they're seeing from their franchises, like Hassan Reddick. And how about CeeDee Lamb, Micah Parsons, who also is due a new contract very soon. He is weighing in on CeeDee Lamb. Seems like there's a general agreement that CeeDee will not be missing any time in the regular season. So yeah, there's a lot to talk about. Excited to be with you on the Hump Show. Fired up. Can't wait for a special package to arrive on Wednesday morning. So at A-Law Radio on our Facebook page, middle show of the work week. I think my blood pressure has subsided after Dan insulted me so royally. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
One and two, the count to McCarthy. The set, the pitch. Jake swings and slams it fair. Inside the bag at third. Harrell scores! Del Castillo scores! D-backs win!
It's just another walk-off for the D-backs. And who does it? Jake McCarthy once again.
The party's in shallow center field, where Geraldo Perdomo got a piggyback ride from the hero, Jake McCarthy!
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The Diamondbacks continue their hot streak, and they walk off, which puts the pressure on the rest of the National League West. It's not just about the Dodgers at the top of that division and how the Diamondbacks are reeling them in. It's also about the Padres and the fact that the Padres continue to be one of the most consistent teams in Major League Baseball. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, Manny Machado in the lineup tonight, and the Padres end up with another win themselves. That's 18-3 in their last 21. And so D-backs and Padres within 3.5 games of the Dodgers in the National League West. And right now, I feel like that's good for all three teams. I had mentioned this going back last year when the Dodgers had that enormous lead in the division, clinched the division in what felt like late August. Not good for them. Not good to be in a situation where the last month of games, there's no sense of urgency. There's no intensity. You lose three in a row. It doesn't matter. And so it's good for the Dodgers at the top of that division because they're getting pushed, because they're having to fight off challengers, but also great for the Diamondbacks and the Padres. Not only are they battling each other, and that's making them better, right? You got to put your best foot forward or you're going to be left behind. You got to bring it every single night or you're going to fall behind quickly in a crowded division. It's also very crowded for National League wild cards. And so I think it's bringing out the best in the Diamondbacks and the Padres that even in mid-August, in the dog days of summer, both of these teams are forced to play their best baseball. Again, if you have challengers, if you've got, this is even the case within your own locker room, on your own team. If you've got a competition for a quarterback position or you're battling another point guard in the preseason, if you have competition and someone who is threatening to take away your job, your real estate, so to speak, well, then if you're worth your weight, you're worth your contract, it's going to bring out the best in you. I mean, athletes, I always think, perform better when the pressure's turned up or when there is a threat to their job or their playing time. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, 855-212-4227. Mention the Dodgers, and beyond what we know about them, they've now put together 5 wins in a row themselves. The big deal for them is Shohei Ohtani and the fact that he has homered in back-to-back games now. He's up to number 37. And so even as I am really intrigued by what Aaron Judge is doing, and again, irrespective of the Yankees, they're in a battle with the Orioles in the American League East, but to see what Aaron Judge is doing, the fact that he is a Triple Crown candidate, second in the AL in batting average, well above 300, also leading the majors with 42 dingers, and you've got a few guys that are, that are maybe looking up at him, getting a crick in their neck looking up at him. But Ohtani, since the last time Judge hit a home run, Ohtani's had 2 more, so he's now within 5. You've also got Anthony Santander of Baltimore, Marcel Ozuna there and there as well for that home run chase. So, yeah, it's kind of fun, even though MVPs and Triple Crowns aren't won in the month of August. I think in the dog days gives fans something to get excited about. All right, a couple of different guys that, a couple of different people on the phone. We're limited here because our guest is going to join us in a few minutes, but I will take, you tell me which one, Ryan, which call should I take? Let's talk to Daniel, not the Dan who just called and insulted me, but also in San Diego. Hi, Daniel.
Hi. Hey, Amy, thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Hey, first time caller, I just wanted to apologize for the last caller. You know what I mean? No one's here to judge you or anything.
Judge me.
To do your job that you do. It's awesome. We all listen to you. So who am I to judge you? You know what I mean? To tell you how to do your job.
Thank you, Daniel.
I got to defend my guy, but you're right. Bottom line, you're right. It's just hard being a Padre fan.
How come, Daniel?
Because, even since 1998, or 84, how long has it been? We can't get there. And he's just, you know what I mean? He's just, how do you say, defending everything.
So feeling defensive. Feeling defensive because the Padres are often overlooked. Yeah, I mean, the Padres, I get it.
He's a Dodger fan, you know what I mean? When we're out here, we got to defend ourselves. We got to fight ourselves. And he thinks of you that way, but no. Thank you for what you do, and I just wanted to tell you, I'm listening, and I wouldn't mind your opinion. No, seriously, I know you know your stuff. So me personally, I think it's going to be a showdown, a rematch between New York and San Diego this year. And what do you think?
Well, here's what I think. I can't predict the future, but I do know that the Padres, they seemingly have climbed out of whatever hole they fell into in 2023. Maybe the expectations were too high. And I'd heard in the offseason that they potentially were going to change what they had done in 23 because it was so woefully terrible and did not work out. But instead... Yeah, instead now, I think they've responded, and I mean, the addition of the different guys they brought in, like Xander Bogaerts, Manny Machado is terrific, of course. The pitching staff has been really solid as well. So I like the way that we've seen them play consistently now, winning, what, 8 straight series, and the fact that they do have some recent playoff history to draw on. Not all of them, of course, but they do have some playoff history. The taste of what it was like to be in the NLCS a couple years ago, I think that can carry them and spur them. And yeah, I don't think they're intimidated by the Dodgers or intimidated by a race, which is great. Daniel, I have to let you go because we're up against a break, but thank you so much. Yeah, it's I understand it. You kind of feel like you're the ugly redheaded stepchild to the Los Angeles Dodgers. But to be fair, the Dodgers have dominated and won a World Series in these last few years. They've owned the NL West. So if you don't like hearing about the Dodgers, do something about it. At A-Law Radio is where you can find me online. Send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. Also on our Facebook page. Here's our latest sports update.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
McCaffrey runs a route. Purdy pressured. Purdy throws. Caught by Brandon Ayuk. Touchdown! San Francisco!
Ayuk is on fire!
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
But will he be on fire for the Niners or will he be on fire for the Steelers? It's on again, this potential for a trade to Pittsburgh with the number one wide receiver in the Niners camp, although he's a holding in at camp. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We're going to go right to the heart of the matter. We're pleased to welcome Joe Rutter, who covers the Steelers for the Pittsburgh Tribune Review and their sports section. And this is a major question again, Joe. So what's the latest? What do we know?
Well, I'm kind of holding my breath, waiting to see what happens like everybody else. It's obvious this, you know, that they have gotten to a point where the Steelers are comfortable with the offer they made. It's just a matter of whether the 49ers want to accept it or not. And I think the longer this drags out without any news, seems to me that indicates the 49ers are really trying hard to work on a deal to keep Brandon Ayuk with them rather than trade him to Pittsburgh. The Pittsburgh offer, although I don't know the specifics of it, seems to be one that they have put out there that they're not going to budge from. And it's just a matter of whether the 49ers want to accept it. And it seems like that their offer money-wise for Brandon Ayuk has been accepted by Ayuk's his representatives. You know, it's just they're in a waiting game right now. And, you know, it seems like Brandon Ayuk holds all the cards in this right now.
That definitely is the case where you've got multiple teams waiting on him to see what he will do. How does he fit with the Steelers should he and the Niners choose to make the deal?
Well, he would automatically be the top receiver. I mean, they've made George Pickens the number one receiver by getting rid of Deontay Johnson, although George Pickens might have ascended to that role anyhow with the way he's played. But, you know, Brandon Ayuk has more of the track record, has had the more productive career so far. So he would be the number one. George Pickens would be the number two, and that would give them one of the best receiving cores, you know, in the NFL. They, you know, they were 1-2 last year in yards per catch. That would bode well for Pittsburgh. You know, they talk up as much as they want to about running the ball. That would certainly open up things in the passing game and give them more options than they had until they would get Brandon Ayuk. Without him, they're pretty much of a one-dimensional team right now.
Although I remember at the beginning of last season, they didn't run the ball as much as they could have, or maybe as much as we'd seen them run in the past. And it wasn't until later in the season where they started to go a little heavier on the run when they made a run, pun intended, to get into the playoffs. How much balance are they looking for in this offense?
I think that depends on, you know, how quickly Arthur Smith's offense takes shape. The criticism last year under Matt Canada was the offense was too predictable. And, you know, they weren't really able to get things going until the second half. And, you know, that was around the time when Matt Canada, you know, was relieved of his duties. They want to do that. Arthur Smith likes to run the ball. They brought him in for that. He likes to use multiple tight ends. He likes to use the fullback. Steeler fans have cried for a long time that the tight end hasn't been a big part of the passing game. And I think with Pat Freiermuth, that will change this year. But they do want to establish the run with Najee Harris, with Jalen Warren in the backfield. And then just a matter of, you know, what weapons they have besides George Pickens to see what kind of passing game they can put into place.
Joe Rutter is with us talking Steelers football as we've got some intrigue, maybe a bit of a cliffhanger here, waiting to see what happens with Brandon Ayuk and if he ends up in the gold and black. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Let's say he becomes a Steeler. Who's throwing him the ball when the regular season begins?
Unless something crazy happens here, it's Russell Wilson. They brought Justin Fields in. He's been getting the first team reps. He started the first preseason game. He may start the second game, although I think they want to see what Russell Wilson has. Russell Wilson is lobbied to get some playing time, but it's his team. I think they're trying to find out what they have in Justin Fields to see how far he's progressed in their offseason workouts and the changes they've asked him to make. This is Russell Wilson's team. Barring something happening, barring another setback on his injury, you know, unless he goes out and throws four interceptions the first game, you know, I think he's going to be the starter, you know, through the rest of this season. And you know, we'll see how Justin Fields fits in otherwise. Maybe they have packages for him. But I see this as being Russell Wilson's team for the foreseeable future.
Why does he have such an edge? What have you seen from him so far in camp?
We haven't seen all that much from him in camp, but I think Mike Tomlin, when they recruited him here, said that he was going to be the guy heading into camp. He used the term pole position to kind of say how the 1 and 2 quarterbacks were going to be. And, you know, they had so many growing pains the last few years with the quarterback position. They're in a win-now mentality. Art Rooney has come out and said that it's time for them to start winning playoff games. They haven't done that since 2016. And, you know, Russell Wilson's the guy. He's experienced 2-time appearing in the Super Bowl, won it once, should have won it a second time. They need somebody like that to lead this offense. I don't think they can trust it to an unknown commodity like Justin Fields. With the mentality they have, I think it's, you know, Russell Wilson's team, and they feel confident. He can come in. He can play like he did last year, not have many interceptions, control the clock, that, you know, he can be the type of quarterback they're looking for.
So that's the quarterback position. On the defensive side of the ball, what's the strength?
I would say having Minkah Fitzpatrick back there helps in at free safety. The two outside linebackers, Alex Highsmith and T.J. Watt, are your strength. They've really upgraded, they think, the inside linebacker position by signing Patrick Queen in free agency. And they have a budding star cornerback in Joey Porter Jr. Those are your strengths. The weaknesses might be an aging defensive line. It's really going to be relying on Cam Hayward bouncing back, you know, late in his career to see what they have there.
Every year that goes by where Mike Tomlin doesn't have a losing record, and yet the Steelers don't challenge for a Super Bowl, even if they make the playoffs, Joe, it seems like there's so many people that still would prefer the Steelers to go in a different direction for the coaching staff and Mike Tomlin specifically. Why is that?
But they're frustrated. They're spoiled by the fact that, you know, this team, you know, especially if you just go back even in this century, in the first, you know, the 2000s, how, you know, they made 3 Super Bowls, won 2 of them, and they're spoiled by that. And they see the, you know, the way Ben Roethlisberger went towards the end of his career, wasn't able to get them over the hump again. They want to see results. They see what New England has done. They want to be that kind of team. They want to be able to get to the AFC Championship game. They want to get back to the Super Bowl. And I think they're running out of patience with Mike Tomlin. He hasn't had the losing seasons, but he hasn't won that big playoff game. And he's really, unless something totally crazy happens, he's in no danger of going anywhere. They signed him to a 3-year extension. So he's going to be here a while, whether Steeler fans like it or not.
A 10-win season in 2023, they end up making the playoffs as a wild card. They didn't even have a quarterback. They started, what, three, four different quarterbacks? And it's almost as though consistency is not enough. There needs to be something beyond that all the time.
Yeah, well, that's the case here. And it's, you know, the fan base is spoiled because, you know, the way they won in the 2000s was reminiscent of what they did in the 70s. Fans want to see that. And we're in an instant gratification world now. And, you know, just making the playoffs isn't good enough for them. And, you know, they want to see a deep run. And you know, they have the right to feel that way. And believe me, Mike Tomlin's record in the playoffs has not been very good lately. That is on the ledger there. Everyone knows the way the Steelers operate. They're not going to make a change. Top. You know, Mike Tomlin is here, I think, as long as he wants to be here and as long as he has them competitive and, you know, competing for division titles. And you know, he's got to start winning playoff games, but I just don't see any way the Steelers get rid of him unless something drastic happens.
Are his press conferences and his press availability always as entertaining as they seem from a national perspective?
they can be, you know. He's mastered the art of not really saying anything. I mean, yeah, he has the funny clips and the things he says and the Tomlinisms, but really he has mastered the art of not giving us very much what we want. But he is entertaining from the fans' perspective, that's for sure.
Joe Rutter covers the Steelers for the Pittsburgh Tribune Review. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. When you think about the AFC North, we're talking the best division in football. Your perspective, Joe, on the way the rest of that division stacks up after the offseason?
Every team in the division can make a case that it has gotten better. Obviously, all four can't get better because I don't think you can have... Yeah, they've already had, all four teams had, you know, 500 or better records last year. So, you know, there's going to be a drop off from some team. I would think Cleveland might be the team that falls back a little bit. Baltimore still, I think, is the cream of the division. Cincinnati, if Joe Burrow stays healthy, can be right there. And the Steelers, you know, they've got to have some things go their way. But if Russell Wilson, you know, plays like he did last year by cutting down the turnovers, could have the Steelers right there in the mix. You know, the one thing about the Steelers is their schedule is backloaded with division games, so you won't really get a true idea of how good this team can be until the second half of the year when they play all of their division games.
Yeah, it's kind of fun to see those games get backloaded, but obviously sets up a major gauntlet and really at times feels like more of a war of attrition, the one that is conditioning teams to be ready for what they can see in the playoffs.
But the one thing that the Steelers fans like to bring up, too, is the fact that, you know, as good as Baltimore has been the last few years, the Steelers have pretty much owned them. I think they've swept them the last two seasons. And, you know, so that's one thing they like to hold over them, you know, and I think that could go a long way towards determining what happens with this division late in the season. But then again, you know, like I said, it's a loaded division that could go anyway. Although I would say right now, I think Cleveland's probably the fourth team in this division.
Joe, how would you compare the Steelers defense with what we see around the rest of the NFL? So some of the top defenses in the league, we know Baltimore is always really tough and physical. The Niners, of course, they have a great defense. How do you think the Pittsburgh Steelers stack up in that regard?
They should be better, you know, based on paper. But on paper, every year they look like they're going to be a really good defense. They're paid like one of the highest paid defenses in the NFL, where the, you know, the Steelers are kind of the opposite of most teams, which overpay on offense and don't pay as much on defense. The Steelers have gone the other way. They should be a top 10 defense. Last year they gave up a lot of yards, but we're in the top 10 and fewest points allowed. It's just a matter of, I think, getting back to some of that Pittsburgh tendencies. They didn't have sack totals last year that they did, you know, in previous years. They've got to create more turnovers. They have a chance to be one of these good defenses, but we've been kind of saying that for the last few years, and, you know, because of injuries and other things, it hasn't happened. But, you know, obviously if T.J. Watt stays healthy for the full year, Minka Fitzpatrick returns to what he does best,
right,
which is creating turnovers. He didn't have any last year. Then this could be a better defense than they've seen in a while.
So TJ was out there for 17 games last season and had the 19 sacks and led the NFL in that category. What have you heard from him about taking another step forward in 2024?
He is at the point where he is with the ownership and the fan base in admitting that it's time to win. He hasn't had a playoff win since he's been with the Steelers, and that's the one missing thing on his resume. You know, for all the awards he's had and the sack records, you know, that he's missing a playoff win and a chance to get to the Super Bowl. He really wants to do that in Pittsburgh. You know, he's going to turn 30 this year. So, you know, that is something that he really wants to do, and he has acknowledged that, you know, it's time for him to do it.
The ripe old age of 30.
How to be so young.
Right. Before I let you go, then, as we look at the rest of the preseason, they've got a game against the Bills coming up this weekend, followed by one against the Lions. How much do you expect to see the ones, the starters?
Well, Mike Tomlin historically does not ever play them in the last preseason game, whether it was the fourth or whether it was the third. So whatever work they're going to get, I think you're going to see Russell Wilson. And, you know, he played some of his first teamers in the opening game against Houston. So I would think they're going to get at least a quarter in this time. Maybe he might play him some towards the half, but he's going to get his star players in there a little bit. You'd see T.J. Watt and Minkah Fitzpatrick, I think, will have, you know, at least a few series to get under their belt. But I don't think you're going to see anybody of significance in that third game.
You can find Joe on Twix at Trib Joe Rutter, R-U-T-T-E-R, covering the Pittsburgh Steelers, where it really doesn't seem like there's ever a dull moment, for the Pittsburgh Tribune Review. Good to catch up with you for a couple of minutes. Thank you so much.
Sounds good. Anytime.
Well, a lot crammed in there. Everything from quarterbacks to the AFC North to T.J. Watt, who, as we know, is right now the de facto best defensive player in the league. And, yeah, the 19 sacks last year, they stood out. If he stays healthy through all 17 games, you want to talk about a wrecking ball and a game changer for the Steelers. So the defense, I expect, would be solid. Love, love, love seeing Cam Hayward hold court in Las Vegas. He was doing his own interviews, and that was a lot of fun. Got to see him in action. Really a big fan of his leadership. So I think the veterans, not just the fact that they're the best players on the defense, but they're also the leaders, terrific. Now, can Russell Wilson, he's QB1, get that offense to carry its own weight? And therein has been the big question. Since Ben Roethlisberger retired, and even when he got injured his second to last year on the field, they just haven't had consistent quarterback play. Maybe it's Russ to the rescue, and maybe Brandon Ayuk. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.